Hi, and welcome to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone, and I have some great guest contributors on the show today, including Debbie Gisoni, who is a best-selling author, speaker, and entrepreneur. Debbie, she inspires people to make very simple changes that can radically improve their self-awareness, well-being, and success. And this week, Debbie talks about how to optimize your relationship perfect as we are well into Valentine's weekend.
Are you in a relationship that is holding your love hostage? Let me explain what I mean by that. Maybe you're in a relationship where you feel like you're giving more love to your partner than you're receiving in return. Or maybe you're giving so much that there's no more love left to give to yourself and you're not loving yourself enough. Or perhaps your partner is making you feel like you don't deserve any love in this relationship, and your self-confidence is going down because of it. Relationships come in many different forms, and they serve and provide you with lots of life lessons. I think we start to learn about relationships in our childhood by observing those around us, most likely our parents or whoever raised us, whether we were raised by a single parent or a father or a mother or grandparents. Those are the first relationships that we see, and those are the ones that really stick to your mind. Now, my parents, I would consider, had a very tumultuous relationship. They were like oil and water. They were always, always fighting. I could remember lying in bed each night and hearing them fight downstairs almost every night and just praying to God that they would stop fighting. My mother was from Italy, and she had actually Sicily, and she had this incredible temper. And my father's family was also from Italy, and he was very hot-tempered too. So when they got together, for some reason, they just always, always fought. A lot of the fights were about either money or family, who didn't like whom or who wasn't talking to whom. And they put their children in the middle of it, which wasn't really, really good. I remember once when I was old enough, I suggested to my mother, why don't you just, you know, split up? Why don't you just leave? And she said, I can't because I love him. I actually have to thank my parents for that relationship and showing me their relationship, because what it did for me is it had me running in the complete opposite direction when I was looking for a relationship. I knew what I didn't want. I didn't want the kind of relationship my parents had, for sure. I ended up marrying a very calm, loving person who respected me for who I am. Now, maybe I was smart, maybe I was just lucky, but either way, experiencing what my parents experienced actually helped me decide what I wanted in a relationship. Now, you might not have had the same path in your own relationships. Maybe instead of figuring out what you didn't like, maybe you decided to stay with the familiar. And if the familiar to you was a really good relationship that your parents had and you also have a good relationship, then that's great. But perhaps that wasn't the case. You know, had I married someone like my father, I would have been miserable. But sometimes the familiar feels very safe. That's why someone who was abused as a child ends up with an abusive partner. This can also hold true with someone who had very controlling parents or alcoholic parents. Maybe that's you. I know someone whose daughter loved her father so much that she used to have a pretend wedding ceremony every night when she was about 5 or 6 years old. She used to marry her father every single night. When she became an adult, she actually married someone who was very similar in traits to her father. I don't mean in looks, I mean in personality. Some of those personality traits could become problematic in a relationship, as she had already witnessed from her own parents growing up. But she chose that anyway, and I think she chose it because it was familiar to her. Relationships, whether they're our own or someone else's, show you these options, and they teach you what we want or what we don't want. Oftentimes, you have to learn those lessons again and again and again until you get it right. I have a friend, let's just call her Lacey. She always seemed to be attracted to guys who were both controlling and needy. She had divorced two men already, and she was on a third very serious relationship with another person who was just as controlling and needy in a way that was really driving her crazy. She had to dress a certain way, look a certain way, put on a certain lipstick. There was no breathing room in the relationship. She couldn't go out with her friends or do things or pick her friends over him. Maybe you're in that kind of a relationship yourself. Anyway, after several breakups breakups with him where they got together again, then broke up, and then got together again, broke up. She finally decided that this was not what she wanted in a relationship. So she ended it. She made up her mind to look for something different, and something different came around. She actually ended up getting married to a wonderful man who respects her for what she is and who she is and treats her beautifully. I have another friend, her name is Mary, and she thought she married an equal partner about 7 years ago. They were very much in love and they worked in the same business together. However, as time went on, her husband became very dogmatic in his thinking and in conducting their business and their life, and very controlling in that the only way to do things was his way. By being so controlling, he made Mary feel like she didn't matter and that her opinions didn't matter and that everything she did wrong because it wasn't his way. And of course, hearing that over and over and over again, Mary's self-confidence started to erode. She kept having doubts about her own self and about her own skill set. She was the one who helped build the business from the ground up, and he never gave her any credit for that. He always wanted to feel superior. He was not acknowledging anything that she did or any good in her. She tried to talk to him about it and they went to some therapy, but it just didn't work out. She decided that she was more important than this relationship and she decided to leave. They're now in the process of getting a divorce. I have another friend I want to tell you about. Let's just call her Sophie. Sophie's the kind of person who let working on her marriage suck every bit of spirit out of her, that she's now having some serious emotional and physical problems. Her telltale signs started right at the beginning of the marriage, in fact, the night before the marriage, at her rehearsal dinner. It was then that her husband, or soon-to-be husband, I should say, handed her a surprise prenup package. Well, 15 years later, she's still in this marriage, and it's been 15 years of fighting. After Sophie gave up her own business that was very successful, moved to a place she wasn't really familiar with and didn't really want to live, her spirit started to fade. She realized that she had been lied to about many things from her husband, that she had been kept in the dark about their finances, that she had gotten to a point where she felt really, really trapped. She's now in a situation where she doesn't feel like she can even get out. She feels like there's too much time that has gone by, that she's too old to be on her own, that she's too scared now to be on her own. What should she do? I don't know the answer, but I do know that something needs to be done because she's very unhappy. A lot of relationship problems come down to control, one person trying to control the other. I've given a couple of examples of friends that I know, and not all relationship problems are about control. My friend Betty has been married for about, 25 years or so to a guy who has to constantly prove his manhood by openly flirting with every woman in sight, no matter where they are, and not in a very nice way either. He's a little arrogant, pushy, and obnoxious. The women around him don't appreciate it, and I'm sure Betty doesn't appreciate it at all. However, she tolerates it and looks the other way and makes a joke about it, but underneath, I'm sure it's very hurtful. Now, in my parents' generation, that might have been pretty common, but today? Really, ladies? I don't think so. Here's my question to you. Is love enough to be unhappy, disrespected, controlled, or even abused? I'm not saying you have to walk out the door at the sign of any of these problems, unless, of course, you are abused, then you do have to walk out the door. But at some point, you get help or you figure out if it could change or not. I know it could be complicated if you have kids or financial issues to leave, and you may not need to leave. Some women just don't speak their mind, don't stand in their power, don't ask for what they want. Don't demand respect. You might want to ask yourself, if you're in one of these relationships like the examples I gave, why don't you love yourself enough to demand love, equal love, and an equal partnership? Everyone says relationships are hard work, but if the work is so hard and isn't showing any improvement, you've got to realize it's time to move on at some point. You deserve to be able to be yourself without having some sort of facade all the time. You deserve to speak your mind without having negative consequences, whether that be physically or emotionally. You deserve to make mistakes without having any judgment. You deserve to be independent without having any guilt or control. And most of all, you deserve to be friends with your partner, with benefits, of course. Well, that's a great way to end on a high note. This is Debbie Gissoni. Enjoy your day and always remember to give yourself a little love.
Relationship expert, writer, and speaker, Debbie Gissoni, also known as the Goddess of Happiness. Debbie will be a contributing guest on America Weekend. Thanks so much, Debbie. I'm Valerie Smaldone, keeping you company. Thanks for coming along.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better than proactive. Announcing today's Proactiv Plus, the revolutionary way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactiv Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-677-6111 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactiv Plus is the modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. Plus, more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactiv Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-677-6111. Be one of the first to try Proactiv Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. Call right now and even the shipping is free. Call 1-800-677-6111. 1-800-677-6111.